Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Triple Jump podcast. It's a video game podcast. My name is Ben.
And my name is Peter.
Hello, Peter. How are you?
Hello, Ben. I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. It's finally released, that game that everyone gets mad about because it's not been released.
It's happened, and maybe it should have waited a bit longer by the sounds of it. There's some things happening with it. But
yeah, some really, really interesting things happening with it.
Yeah.
We'll
see how it goes. Maybe, I mean, me and you might both end up sitting on it and waiting a little while before we play Cyberpunk, right? I think that's where we're going with that. But I don't know, yeah. We'll see how we go. I mean, there's so much else to play, isn't there? All these new games come out.
There is. I'm really glad it didn't release at the same time as the new consoles. You know, that would have really just sealed its fate.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're right.
But there's a chance. There's a chance you pick it up soon. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, I'm not quite decided, but yeah, I think I may wait. We'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Absolutely. Did you know that each and every week we are sponsored by a brand new and fantastical, very real company that exists in the world?
No.
Yeah, well, we are.
Oh, all right.
Genuinely.
Then. So we've got one this week, have we?
Yes, we do.
What
I've got
it?
The ad read here. It's quite short. It's a short one.
Okay.
It just says Bugwaps.
Bugwaps?
Yes.
How are you spelling that?
B-U-G. Bug. Waps. W-A-P-S.
What's a wap?
I don't know.
Oh, it's just Bugwaps.
It just says underneath, all it says here in the ad copy is sexy bugs.
Oh.
And that's all it says. That's it.
No sort of full kind of read, no copy for you to read out about.
No.
Head to bugwaps.com/teamtriplejump for 20% off your buggiest waps.
Yeah, well, no, nothing like that.
Oh, okay.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I don't know, maybe it's just sort of they expect people to read between the lines. Maybe it's like that Doritos advert.
Right.
Where they feel like they don't even need to say the name Doritos because it's like, you know what we're talking about.
I think this everyone... Everyone's just going to have to Google WAP and find out what it is, because I've got no... I mean, I wouldn't know.
Mm.
Especially like if you're listening on like a school computer or a work, you know, if you're working in your office, just give WAP a Google and let
just
us know what
Google.
It is, because
I've got no idea. I don't know.
Lost it on just, me.
If the ad read doesn't tell us, then we're going in blind here, aren't we? Like, what are we meant to do?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know.
It's a shame. Anyway, so that is the sponsor for this week, Bugwaps. Except it's not, because it's a load of baloney. It's a lie.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not real.
No.
Sorry.
Don't Google
or is
Waps.
It?
Well,
no,
no.
Maybe do Google it. I don't know.
Depending on how old you are, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, I'd still like to know what it is.
Right.
Because again, you know, it doesn't say in the ad read. So how
are you supposed to know?
That's how we learn most of our new information. No, of course, the real sponsors are the wonderful patrons over at patreon.com/teamtriplejump, where for as little as $1 per month, you can ask questions on this podcast. Peter, where are we walking today, do you think?
We are walking across a bug. Mm-hmm. A bug.
Can it be a nice bug, not like an upsetting bug?
Yeah, no, like a cutesy, a very sweet, you know, darling bug.
Ladybird?
The darling bugs of May.
Right.
Yeah, a ladybird.
Nice ladybird. Mm. There it is.
Or a ladybug, as they call it in Americorn, and probably everywhere else they speak English.
That's true. It could be. I have no idea. Anyway, that's where we're walking today. But did you know that if you go to patreon.com/give $1 per month, you ask questions on this podcast, just like,
I think this is Keithy, darling. It's the name Keith with an I and an E on the end. So I'm assuming Keithy, but who's to say? Keithy, darling.
I assume so too.
Says, hello. I must say, I stumbled on your channel during the long, endless month of March that we've had going on for the last 9 months. Yeah, it's been a long old March, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I've really enjoyed your easy charm. It hasn't been the most social of years, and I'm not ashamed to admit that I've staved off the lonelies by listening to your podcast and Worst Games Ever. That said, any media or video games that you like to dip into just to hang out in? Not so much to complete or play, but just because it's an inviting place to exist in. Also, can I get Babs Piss's number? I think she is a real dish.
Wow. My God. No, you can't.
She's a real dish.
She's... Ocean Man. She's married, and she don't play like that, so, you know, no. Mm.
Okay.
It's the answer, I'm afraid. Great question, though, and thank you for listening.
Yeah, thank
but
you
no,
very
you can't,
much.
You can't have that. Peter, is there a game that you go to just to exist in it?
I mean, in a way, I kind of feel this way about the first Spyro game. Like, you know, it's a game I play over and over, but if I really, really, like, delve deep into it, I don't know if I go back for the gameplay. It probably has the worst gameplay of the three, or the worst... kind of the least deep and rich gameplay anyway. You don't do any sort of jumping in vehicles and things like that in that game. And, you know, I've played it a million times, so I don't get that much out of charging and flaming and collecting treasure. But it is just, you know, I know there's a big nostalgic element to it, but I do just really love the world there and the music and the art design and things like that. So I think, like, that's a huge aspect of my constant replaying of Spyro, is just to exist in that world. But I think other than that, Oblivion is a big one. You know, I don't play Oblivion for the thrilling sword play or the excellent radiant AI. I play it because it's a beautiful world. And yeah, all right, there are some really good side quests and things like that. And there is fun to be had in exploring dungeons and fighting monsters, but just to wander around is enough for me, really. And other than that, I've just written down, like, some historical based games, just because I find it quite interesting walking around a large simulated open world of a different period of history. So I've talked before about how much I enjoyed Far Cry Primal, Assassin's Creed Syndicate, new one on the block, Assassin's Creed Valhalla. Very much enjoying that now that I've made it to England. So I'll be talking about that probably in the next section of the podcast. Let's find out in a bit.
My goodness.
But yeah, those are a few games that I like to pop into now and then for the world.
The world. Of course, you forgot to mention the five voice actors that Oblivion boasts. Those, you've got to check in with those guys.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought Mog Crab's more fearsome than you. That's not how he says it, but I just said it like that for some reason.
You violated the law.
Yeah.
Your stolen goods are now forfeit.
This is the part where you fall down and bleed to death. Really great quip.
I do like the pitch shifts in his tone. Just goes up and up and up.
I like it when you kill someone in, like, the market, or you get killed by guards in the marketplace, and you know they go in like, take that, rah! And then they take you down, and as you die and it plays the death music and goes duh, 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 they'll walk up to your body and go like, someone's been murdered or whatever, things like that, you know. May you rest in peace.
It's so good. It's such a brilliant game. I'm so sad we never got a PS4 release of that, you know.
Yeah, it's a shame, really.
It's sad, never mind. I suppose that's why people play games on Xbox, isn't it?
Yeah.
And just play it, can't they?
Ben, what worlds do you like to revisit just to sort of exist and explore and, you know, not play too much gameplay as such, but just sort of be there in the moment?
Yeah. No, absolutely. This year, I haven't really... There's speaking specifically about this year in terms of what I've dipped back into over and over again, there's been no real constant for me this year, apart from maybe Call of Duty Warzone, which obviously is it's an inherently unpleasant gaming world to just sort of exist in.
It's not quite Cyrodiil, is it?
No, it's not. It's not. There's like three voice actors in that one as well, so you can't even hang out with friends. But it's sort of I think maybe the sense or the notion that games can exist to be not a safe space, you know, but like just some sort of like a comforting blanket, you know, familiar and warm. I think it perhaps it goes beyond just gaming worlds that are nice, you know, because I've also played a lot of Demon Souls recently, and that isn't nice, but I don't want to stop playing it because it sort of it comforts me because I know it very well and I enjoy it. And I think perhaps that the same went for Marvel's Avengers earlier in the year. That I reached the point with that game where I knew exactly what I was doing. I still didn't think it was very good, but I knew exactly what I was doing, that I was just happy to boot it up and just play it because it was like, I understand how this game works and I can easily spend an hour in here just feeling like I'm accomplishing something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, beyond wow, Cyrodiil's very green today. That's nice. Oh my god, I forgot about the zombies in Oblivion. They're actually really upsetting.
Oh, they are.
I'm really glad they aren't in Skyrim.
Yeah,
because they're really spooky. Actually, rotting bodies.
They seem to be like the most rotting zombies ever depicted in
fiction.
They're
really unpleasant. It's a good thing that they hide in those identical dungeons.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Otherwise, I seem to remember them being really tough as well, the zombies in that game. You know, you'd think a rotten corpse would just take a couple of stabs and then it would fall to bits.
Fall down and bleed to death, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I thought mod crabs less fearsome than those zombies because they're very fearsome.
Yeah. No, absolutely. But I think, as Keithy says, it's nice to have games that you can just sort of exist in and enjoy. But I think it does go beyond... This is nice and the music's fantastic, and that's why all the games that I've just mentioned are generally pretty horrible places to be.
Yeah.
But there's still something comforting about them because they're familiar.
Yeah, I guess there's kind of different ways that you can exist in a game, either just to literally enjoy the locale and the atmosphere, or in a different way, as you say, just
get headshots and pwn noobs. You know?
Yeah, but in a kind of
In a friendly way. In a familiar way.
It's just familiar, and it's there's a level of autonomy, but not in a boring way. It's, you know, it's almost second nature just running around and doing things there. And yeah.
Get verbally abused by 14-year-olds, but in a nice way.
In a friendly way. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, die over and over again, but like in a nice way.
In a friendly way. Dying
in a friendly way, yeah. They just sort of exist in that space where you're constantly being murdered by teenagers, you know?
Perfect.
In a nice way, though.
In the
best possible
peaceful
way. Yeah. No,
absolutely.
100%. Yeah, for sure. Peter, it's time to move on
to
a section that we've never done before, and I can't even pronounce this. I don't even know what that means.
Do you want me to have a go?
Yeah, if you would.
What we play in, it says.
I don't think that doesn't sound right. Oh. Could you give it another go?
Oh, I think there's a G missing. That's why it's so hard to read.
Oh, God, you're right.
I think it's supposed to say... What we playing?
It's time for what we playing? Is that
playing.
Was that it?
Yeah.
Playing. I don't know about that. It feels weird.
Oh, okay.
Feels weird to say, but anyway, we're here now. Peter, what are you playing?
I'm playing a couple of things this week. So normally I only resort to talking about the game that I've been streaming, streaming, apostrophe, if I've not played that much other stuff in my own downtime in the evenings, which some weeks that's what happens, so I have to just sort of talk about my stream game. This week I have played stuff in my downtime, but I will also just mention the game I've been streaming, because I started that in my own time at home, and then I sort of restarted on stream, which was Astro's Playroom. You know, I wanted to just play that by myself, and then I was like, oh, this is just too fun. I got to stream this next week. I got to do it. So it took me two streams, and I finished it now. And wow, that final boss is great. Did not expect that. Yeah. People were saying in the chat, like, oh, it's final boss time. Pete is going to enjoy this. Because I've made reference to that thing a couple of times throughout the run. Because there's actually, you can see it on a little screen as well in the central hub area. There's like a reference to it ahead of time. And then, yeah, it turns out to also be the final boss. So super fun, bit of a, it's one of those more obscure deep cuts, really. So some people won't know what that is. I don't want to necessarily spoil it because it was a nice surprise to me. So I'm not, in case people haven't played it yet, I'm not going to say what the nature of that boss was. But it's a very, very old callback. I mean, it's effectively one of the first things that ever existed on PS1. That's all I'll say. So, yep. Yeah, super fun. And the rest of the game, just wonderful. Charming, colourful, genuinely enjoyable to play. Really shows off that controller, which I know is pretty much what that thing was designed for, that game. But I think it ticks all boxes. I think if you look at everything it set out to do within that realm or those parameters, I think it's essentially a perfect game, you know, according to those specific yardsticks. So yeah. Very good.
It's really good. A really good game. And also that final boss is part of it is a reference to that thing that you obviously have alluded to. But it's also a reference to, I think, an aspect of, I think it was either the Playroom VR, it might have been the original Playroom, or it might have been Astrobot Rescue Mission,
right?
The VR game. There's a portion of that before it, you know, turns into the thing that you recognize.
Mm-hmm.
That initial version is, I believe, just lifted from one of their earlier games that they did. So,
oh, the initial version. Well, so it's got two forms. It sort of evolves into a more deadly form later on. And the first version is definitely a callback to PS1. But whether it's also a reference to other Astro stuff, I don't know. But Yeah,
I believe it is. I'll have to double check, but okay. it did look an awful lot like that thing.
Maybe it's all just a great big web of references to each other, sort of.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah, I think it is. It just sort of it melds it all together, doesn't it?
Yeah, brilliant stuff. But anyway, all that aside, as I say, I've been playing some other stuff. So the main thing I've been playing is Assassin's Creed Valhalla. Wow, it's a really good game. Really enjoying that. It is more of the same, but for me, a person who only plays an Assassin's Creed game every sort of third or fourth game, seemingly, it's certainly been long enough for me that I can sit down and enjoy it. And it feels, certainly aspects of it feel new because they have innovated on one or two things. On the other hand, it's definitely got the Ubisoft paint by colours feel to it, in that there's a drone / owl / raven / whatever it is, you know, in different games, the flying thing. There's see-through walls and mark your enemies, but hey, it's got a different name now, so it's a different thing, right? It's called like Odin's Sight or something like that.
Of course.
So it's definitely it's one of those. It's an Ubisoft game in that respect. But yeah, it's very beautiful, actually. Really pretty game. Especially, I think, when you make it to Britain. And, you know, it's not... I think when you're in Norway, it's nice. But it's kind of... It's like when you compare Skyrim and Oblivion. You know, Skyrim's a really good game. And, you know, it's a lot of fun to play in. But I don't really like just constant tundra, really. I know there's a few areas of Skyrim where it's not got snow on it, and there's like a couple of forests and stuff, but yeah, it's mostly a big snowy cold place. And Oblivion, rolling hills and green stuff and trees, and it kind of feels like that when you go from Norway to England in Valhalla. And wow, really gorgeous. And I've only just scratched the surface, so I'm really looking forward to just playing more, exploring the world. It's fun to like encounter little towns and villages and settlements, and it's like, you know, just a collection of like little wooden shacks or whatever, and then the name of that place is somewhere in the UK that is now a huge town or city. And it's funny to see, like, I can't even think of an example now, but you know, you go somewhere like Jorvik and it's not really that big compared to York, and so on. So it's interesting to make those comparisons. Other than that, I've been playing a bit of Spyro Reignited, actually, in preparation for a stream that I'm going to be doing around the time that I finish for Christmas, where I want to play through the entire thing I want to rescue all the dragons, collect all the dragon eggs, and get to the final boss fight without breathing fire at all.
My goodness. And this is the first one, is it?
It is the first game, yeah, the first Spyro. I'm doing it on Reignited because there's a couple of exploits I can use in that game that I wouldn't be able to do in the PS1 version. And I will have to breathe fire in the final boss fight, but that's sort of what the run is. You know, it's about getting to the end and then just saving your fire for the boss. I thought that I wouldn't be able to get all the dragons and dragon eggs. I thought, all I'll do is I'll just run to the end and kill the final boss. And then I was like, hang on, I've got like 78 out of 80 dragons here when I was practicing. And these last two dragons were behind a seemingly impossible barrier. And oh boy, I spent like an hour or two trying to break the game in this same little area. And oh, no. I've done it. I did it.
Oh, well done.
I finally managed to cheat my way through.
You took the camera anywhere you wanted.
I did. I broke the boundaries. So I now think I'm going to be able to do the entire thing by freeing every single dragon, which is something I'd never thought I'd be able to do. I thought it was just going to be a run to the boss. But no, seems to be that way. So we'll see how it goes. But yeah, that's quite exciting. So that'll be a long old stream of probably 5 or 6 hours. But
brilliant. Yeah. Do you have a day for that yet to sort of prep people?
It will be either, let's have a look, Saturday the 19th, which is like the first day of the holidays for me, or Monday the 21st, which is the first what would be a working day of the holidays. You know, I might not do it on my weekend, but I may well do.
Sort of in place of your usual stream slot if it was the Monday.
Yeah, it would be. Yeah, it will be essentially next weekend around then. At time of release of this podcast, it will be next weekend coming. So
brilliant.
Keep an eye on our social media. We'll give you an exact date when we know.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
There we go.
Yeah. Nice.
So that's what I've been playing. What about you, Ben? What have you been playing?
Well, it finally happened. I've played some Bugsnax.
Oh, yeah?
It's flipping weird.
Yeah. Is it good, though?
I'm enjoying it. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I think the reviews are fairly bang on, sort of mid to high 70s.
Yeah.
Or thereabouts. It's essentially just a nice little sort of problem-solving, puzzly game where the island you're on is split into distinct areas, and each area has a certain amount of Bugsnax to catch, but all of them interact in different ways. Some of them only come out at night. You have to use different tactics. Some of them, like chocolate, for example. So you would use your slingshot to fire chocolate that you've just harvested from the chocolate plant.
Right.
Of course. Yeah. Onto one of the Bugsnax, which makes the other Bugsnax charge at that Bugsnax, which will then flip that Bugsnax onto its back so you can then catch it. And then maybe there's some flying ones. And they get tired after flying around their route every so often and they need to land. And so you need to wait until they land and then try and grab them and snack them up. And beyond that, you know, it's very surreal and strange. The inhabitants of this island have all sort of split apart from one another, apart from one who's still in their old town. And he charges you with going around and sort of trying to get everyone to come back.
Yeah.
And that main explorer who was in the trailers and stuff, she's gone missing. And so once she left, the town sort of fell apart. So you're trying to get everyone back. It's quite adult in its sense of humor sometimes, and it's a bit odd and weird. I don't really know how to describe it. It's really strange, Peter. It's so weird. Some of the stuff, like some of the setup for the story, you know, the story is very bizarre. You're an investigative journalist.
Right.
And it starts off and you're in sort of like a sepia tone office, and you've got like an old-timey boss in front of you, like, yeah, you need to go and I need pictures of Spider-Man.
Pictures of Spider-Man,
And like slamming the desk and stuff.
I've seen that in the trailer, that character, yeah.
It's weird. Like, it's really weird. I'm going to keep playing it because it's good fun. But yeah, it's very strange. Very, very strange. But I think people will enjoy it if they give it a go. So that's Bugsnax. Play some more Demon's Souls, of course.
Mm-hmm.
just sort of helping people out now, you know, paying it forwards, if you will, going into friends' games and giving them some items and helping them defeat bosses and stuff like that. So still very much enjoying that game. Warzone, naturally, played a bit of Call of Duty. And the last game I played is Resident Evil Revelations 2, which is a huge improvement over Revelations 1. Not that that took much beating, because I believe Revelations 1 was originally a 3DS game, maybe, and then it was ported to home consoles. But Revelations 2 is much better, better story, better characters. You can play the whole thing in co-op, and it's just more engaging. I think it's just a better game all round.
Wonderful. Glad to hear it.
Oh, there we are. That's what I've played.
Talking about bug snacks.
Ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho. Wonderful. Well, it's time to move on to another question.
Yes, it is.
Would you do the honours?
I will. This is from Jason Allenby. Allenby? Is it Allenby? Did we discover that last time, or did we make the same sort of observations that I'm making now?
Oh, I don't remember us struggling with this. I would have said Allenby like you did, but now that you've said, is it Allenby, I think that actually sounds more likely. So, who's to say?
It's definitely from Jason.
Yeah.
We know that much. So Jason says, hi, Peter and Ben. With the world in its current state of being totally fine, everything is great, I've been trying to catch up on games that passed me by the first time around. Last week, I finally gave Bioshock a go. I will say that game is really good and I'm enjoying playing it. However, since the game came out in 2007 and I've been on the internet at least once, I know how the game goes. It's hard to get immersed in the narrative when you know what the big reveal is. So would you kindly answer this question? Have you ever had a similar experience of going into a new-to-you game, knowing how it ends, and were you able to still get immersed into it? Thanks for everything you guys do. Have a great day. From your friend, Jason, last name.
Wow, yeah. I mean, if you've watched our list on our channel, you will know what happens in Bioshock, because it's just a game that lends itself to every single topic that we ever cover for some reason. But I've definitely had this. In fact, because of working on YouTube channels that do lists, that's probably where I've got my spoilers from. Because I think if you avoid spoilers in the immediate aftermath of a game's release, then once that moment's passed, it's actually relatively easy to avoid spoilers for that game, you know, months down the line, because people aren't really talking about it anymore that much on social media, broadly speaking. You know, I'm not seeing Last of Us Part 2 spoilers anymore, for example, because people just have kind of moved on to the next game that they want to scream and shout about. So it really came from doing lists. So actually, The Last of Us 1, I didn't play that until I'd already covered it on, I guess, some What Culture videos. So I knew full well what the final sequence was and the decisions that were made by characters. So that was a shame. But fortunately, I guess the difference between that and Bioshock is that Bioshock has this thread running all the way through it that you don't even know is happening. You know, it's got almost a series arc, as it were. Whereas, you know, Last of Us 1 has just a kind of a big gut punch at the end that you don't see coming. So at least for the bulk of the game, that spoiler that you've got in your head isn't directly affecting what you're doing. Whereas with Bioshock, if you know you're being asked to kindly go through that door, the whole time you'll be thinking, oh yeah, okay, sure I will.
That's that thing.
Yeah. One game, however, that was kind of more of a case of that for me was Heavy Rain. I knew who the Origami Killer was from, again, doing a list about twists in the tale or something like that. And to an extent, it did kind of hamper my experience. But on the other hand, I was a bit baffled by what that character was doing and why they were doing it, even knowing full well that, okay, this person is the Origami Killer. Why are they? What have they done that for? Or how does that behavior there line up with the fact that they are the killer? And it took me some time before I realized, okay, they're trying to sort of clean up evidence and, you know, get an insight onto the investigation and stuff. So it made sense to me eventually. But I think the fact that I was confused by their motives at first in some ways did help, because it was like there was still some sort of unanswered question in my head. You know, I was like, I don't understand what's going on here. I guess I'll find out later. So at least I had that going for it. Whereas if I fully understood the entire thing, it would be like, okay, yeah, they're doing that because of this reason. So yeah, Heavy Rain and Last of Us were the sort of the big ones for me. Yeah. What about you?
There aren't many big games that have huge narrative twists in them that I went into after the fact.
Mm.
Most of the time I was there when it came out and I was able to experience it without that being spoiled or without it just being common knowledge.
Yeah.
There are a few games I've gone back and played after the fact. Metal Gear Solid 1 to 3, God of War 1 and 2, the original ones.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say necessarily that any of them had massive twists, apart from maybe MGS2 making you play as Raiden.
Mm.
Or Raiden.
Yeah.
But, you know, that... For me, it was such a small thing, and you really literally would have had to have played that game the week it came out for that not to have been just everyone talking about it. Mm. You know, because then I'm assuming after that point it was just widely publicized that you play as Raiden in this game. So for me it was always you play as Raiden in this game. If I went to my cousin's house, for example, and they were playing MGS2, which they were, that's where I first saw it, they were playing as Raiden. So I was like, well, this is the character you play as. I didn't know. You know, it's not like a twist that happens halfway through or near the end or something. It happens immediately. So it was never like a big change to me. So for me, the problem with coming into games after the fact is when they don't stand up on their own anymore.
Mm.
Not necessarily because they're bad, but just because they're older. It takes some time getting over or getting used to some of the more archaic design choices. You know, awkward camera angles, controls, that kind of stuff. I'd say that's less the case with Bioshock because it's relatively recent. I really enjoyed playing through Bioshock. I didn't play that when it came out, but I did play it sort of a couple of years later. And I didn't know any of that stuff going into it, the spoilery stuff. But as you said, there are other twists in that game that maybe aren't as well publicized as the Would You Kindly one.
Mm.
So there's still plenty to go through there. And it's, you know, it's about the journey. It's not necessarily about the twists, the friends we made along the way.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot in there.
Did you play Shadow of the Colossus at the time? I know you played it on PS4. Was that new to you then? Or?
No, I did play it on PS2.
Right.
Admittedly, probably not when it came out, but I rented it from the library.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's when I played that for the first time. But yeah, going into that, I had no idea what it was.
Yeah, because that's a big twist. That's one of gaming's bigger twists, I would say.
Yeah, don't think it really had an impact on me, though, at that age.
Right.
Like, I didn't, it was like, oh.
Mm.
And that was kind of it. Like, it didn't hit me perhaps in the way it should have done or did when I played it again as an actual adult, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It hits different now, as the kids say.
They do, yeah.
They do say that. Very recently, obviously, Resi 4. Mm-hmm. I just sort of put that down immediately just due to the controls. But in that case, I know that there's a remake coming. Like, it's happening. We know that.
Yeah.
There was a data leak. It's happening. there is a remake coming. So I'll just wait for that. And then I can experience it there. But that's mainly my experience with going back and playing these sorts of big games after the fact. It's just how they play rather than what I already know about them.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well, it's good to know that you've not had too many big things spoiled for you.
No, not really.
Excellent news.
It's okay. I'll tell you what isn't excellent news.
Yeah.
But might actually be rather bizarre news.
Mm-hmm.
Hang on, I'm not ready yet.
Oh, yeah, me neither.
I'm not ready yet.
Here we go.
I'm ready now.
I'm also ready now.
It's time for weird news.
Weird news.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's Weird News time. Welcome to Weird News. Peter, do you have some strange video game news for me?
I do have some strange video game news to an extent. It's more about a YouTuber who mostly plays video games, so it is pretty much video game related, but he does other things too. But it's reported on Kotaku.com, so it must be weird gaming news, although it's not written by our usual correspondent, so maybe not. This is by Ian Walker on Kotaku.com. Okay. Markiplier fans celebrate his bowel movement.
Oh, okay.
It's a bit weird. I'm not sure that's right. Mark Markiplier Fishback is one of the biggest YouTube stars in the world. At almost 30 million subscribers, he's afforded a level of celebrity that can make even a mundane activity, like taking a dump, a big deal. After a recent stay in the hospital for an intestinal blockage, Markiplier updated his fans on his status with a very important two-word tweet. So at 6 p.m. on the 3rd of December, he just tweeted the words, "I pooped," full stop. Markiplier fans have since managed to make the hashtag he pooped a trending topic on Twitter. It's currently ranked as the social media, at time of writing, I suppose, it's currently ranked as the social media platform's sixth most talked about thing in the USA and climbing. The tweet in question, it doesn't actually say this in the article, but the tweet in question has 316,000 likes, 27,000 comments, and how many retweets? 17,000 retweets as well.
Jesus.
People are really, really enjoying this news. Jokes aside, it says, this normal human bodily function means Markiplier won't have to go through surgery. He's a good guy by all accounts, and I'm glad to hear his medical problems have cleared up. Congratulations on the poop, Mark. Ian Walker, staff writer, Kotaku. Share this story, Facebook, Twitter, email, or copy direct link.
I think we need to tweet it immediately, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, great. I mean, let's be perfectly honest here, Al. If we had that level of following...
Yeah.
We'd do exactly the same thing.
Oh, you know we would. Of course we would.
We'd do that. Hey.
Even if we didn't have intestinal blockages. Yeah, hey, just like once a day, the I pooped tweet would
just
go
pooped.
Out.
And then people would check and be like, oh, you didn't tweet it today. Are you okay? Make sure you're eating your fiber. Sorry, guys, I forgot.
People get send us prune juice in the tat appeal just to keep us regular.
Oh, no.
And if we'd had a Domino's the night before, there might be two I pooped tweets going out.
Oh, no, that'd be terrible. Can you imagine? You could do them. Oh, the social media opportunities, you could do them in a thread.
Yeah.
I pooped. Just pooped.
Just did a poop.
Wow. What a frightening level of success that man has.
Yeah, really quite disturbing. But we wish the very best to Markiplier and hope that his intestines remain unblocked.
Absolutely. Keep your poops going, my dude. Keep the poops a-flowing.
Keep them going. Keep them flowing.
Keep them going. Keep them flowing, Markiplier.
And eat that Dommy Bobs.
Standing by. I see you, bruv.
Yeah.
Plop.
Please weird me back.
Of course. This comes from PCGamer.com/UK.
Right.
This is from Wes Fenlon.
Yeah.
And the title says, Monster Hunter World review bombed after a controversial joke from the movie hits Chinese social media.
Oh no.
The film, which premiered December the 3rd in China, may be edited to remove the offending line.
Uh-oh.
So, yeah, this the Monster Hunter movie has just sort of come out.
Yeah, and it looks
I think
great.
I heard vaguely it existed, and yeah, now it's... And now it's just released. It looks like it's got Mila Jovovich in it. Djokovic.
Yeah, the famous tennis player Mila Djokovic.
Yeah, absolutely, that's her. So here we go. This is obviously rather unfortunate, and we don't want to make light of the line, which isn't great.
Right.
But we'll get into it. Here we go.
I've got no idea what's coming. I've not heard this story, so...
Monster Hunter World received 17 negative reviews on Steam on December the 3rd. On December the 4th, as of writing, it's gotten 1,092.
Oh, God.
Scroll through them and you'll see a common thread. Knees. Good game, dirty racism movie, says one review, which sums up the cause of Monster Hunter World's sudden review bomb. The Monster Hunter film adaptation, directed by Paul W.S. Anderson, premiered in China on December the 3rd, and a joke from early in the film has been gathering attention and anger across Chinese social media. One of the American soldiers in the film throws out the line, "What kind of knees are these? Chinese."
What? Why? What? What's the context of that remark?
I have no idea. Wow. But there's an embedded tweet that looks like it's gone now. That just the accompanying caption said, "Great writing in the Monster Hunter movie." Mm. So I don't think there is any real context to it.
Okay.
As pointed out by analyst Daniel Ahmad, the pun hasn't been well received. It's being linked to the rhyme/phrase "Chinese Japanese dirty knees. Look at these," which is considered offensive. He said, "Have you heard that line before?"
That rhyme or that...
That,
no,
that rhyme.
There was a similar rhyme that I've heard in the playground at school at about age 6, but it wasn't... Mm-hmm. Was it "dirty knees, look at these"?
Yeah.
No, I'd not heard that one. No.
Yeah, so I think that might be an American phrase because I've only heard that in Family Guy before.
Right.
That's the only other place I've heard that. I haven't heard that. Anyone ever say that in the UK. Might be wrong, though. That rhyme has been around for decades, and a cursory Google search will bring up plenty of writers talking about how it's long been used as a racist jeer. Whether the film's pun was an intentional reference or not, it clearly hasn't landed well with Chinese audiences. We haven't been able to verify tweets claiming that the film is being pulled from theatres in China and that it's being edited to remove the offending scene, but given the review bomb splashback that Monster Hunter World has received, it seems likely that the film will be modified to preserve its chances at the Chinese box office. Capcom already posted a statement on Weibo, which I believe may be some kind of Chinese social media. I'm not entirely sure.
Right.
Clarifying it didn't produce the film. It's an international production from Tencent, Constantin Film, and others, but that it's forwarding feedback to the relevant companies. The joke somehow slipped through China's regulatory agencies before Monster Hunter's release. We've previously written about the complex machinations of game censorship in China. Films go through a similar vetting process. Given the current backlash, I don't expect the pun will remain in the film for long.
Hmm.
So there we are. It's unfortunate, obviously, and clearly beyond the implications of the line, which are seemingly racist.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like it's very... good writing just in the movie in general.
No, I'd much rather he'd, you know, not been racist or alluded to a racist rhyme,
sure.
And instead said, "What kind of knees are these? Weird knees." weird knees. Yeah, like that, you know, really force the knees and news, just make them into a homophone and then ruffle some papers, you know, and then you don't
absolutely
have to be actually racist, well, or again allude to a racist rhyme. I nearly said poem then.
Yeah.
Which is not quite.
We don't know what the intentions were there, as the article
says,
but the implications are certainly very real. And
Chinese
viewers understandably very upset and annoyed about that. There is a separate, perhaps more complicated argument as to whether taking to the most recent Monster Hunter games Steam page and review bombing it is the correct way to go about it, considering that the film has nothing to do with the game beyond the fact that it shares a name.
Yeah, you know? And there's no way that, like, the publisher and developers, like, signed off on every line of dialogue.
To them. Yeah, it wasn't up to them. It was, as it said, it was produced by different movie companies, and they weren't involved. So, yeah, I mean, at that point, I don't know. Perhaps that was just the way that you know, again, it's kind of a bit like the bandwagoning kind of stuff we were talking about last week. Perhaps a few people went through, started review bombing Steam, and then everyone else just followed suit because that was the place everyone was doing it. Maybe it would have been perhaps more pointed to do it on Metacritic or, you know, IMDb or something like that. But we wouldn't be talking about it if they did, perhaps. The fact that they've done this means that we're talking about it, so clearly that it worked.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, whether... You have to wonder, like, to what extent... I'm sure some people are doing it to try and have a conversation like this, you know, be in the public eye. And, you know, if that's your intention, I can at least understand it. But you do have to wonder as well how many people, as you say, are just doing it because they hear, oh, some game is being review-bombed. Oh, I'll chip in. You know, and they might not even know what the story is, you know. Mm. Again, that's not to undermine the fact that some people are genuinely offended by this. And, you know, of course, that they're well within their rights to be based on that. But, yeah, it's always... I just find review bombing a bit difficult to comprehend, especially in this case where the game isn't even directly linked to the issue. So it's a shame because there will be some people in there who are just review bombing the game for fun without even understanding the problem or having informed themselves about it. So,
and Monster Hunter World is fantastic as well. I mean the best outcome here is that the actual issue is addressed and that the line is adapted or removed or altered or something like that, because there's, you know, we haven't seen the film, but even that line out of context doesn't sound like it has a great deal of context, and I don't really know how else that line would have been put in there if not some kind of reference to the sort of the phrase or the nursery, not the nursery rhyme, but you know what I mean.
Just the rhyme.
Yeah. And hopefully Capcom, is it Capcom? I believe it's Capcom, isn't it, that do Monster Hunter?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Hopefully Capcom can work with Steam to maybe get those negative reviews removed, because they just, you know, it's a permanent mark on that game's record, and it's not that game's fault. And it's a shame that it got caught up in it. But at the same time, as we've said, you know, maybe this was just the best course of action to make the most amount of noise possible for these people to feel like they needed, need to be heard.
Mm. And at least as well, you know, this has happened some time after the game is, well, I guess a long time after the game has been out. It's been out for,
2017.
Yeah, like years now. So, you know, if the game was like newly out, and then this had happened immediately, that could affect the sales quite badly. Mm-hmm. And if it was hard to pass, you know, to separate the people's actual opinions of the game versus the review bombing, you know, like Capcom might even look at it and go, oh, did people like our game? Or how much of this is, you know, like, is this a reflection on the quality, or how much of this is because of that line in the film? But they know that the game was a success and it went down very well. And it's only now that this is happening. Yeah, like you say, it's still a permanent mark on its record. But certainly as a metric for did we make a good game, I think they already know, or they already knew that they had done, you know, a long time ago. So that's something, I guess.
Absolutely. It initially released in late 2017, but came to most of the world in early 2018. So there we are. That was some weird news. Hopefully that gets sorted soon on both sides. On both sides. Not both sides. I mean, there are good people on both sides. I mean, Steam reviews and also the line in the film. That's just to be perfectly clear.
Yeah.
Because some people really like to take what we say out of context. And it's important that we're extremely clear.
Yeah. Whew. Okay. Well, question three. This is from Just Chris.
Mm.
That's what it says. That's his name. He's not put Chris, and I've said it's only Chris.
Jesus. Yeah.
Hey, fellas, In a few months, I'll be headed to Poland for a little less than a year with the army. Once I get back, I'll basically be a year behind in news and video games, which I always kind of like, because all the glitches are fixed, the prices have dropped, etc., and by playing catch-up, you never have to worry about a game not being available at that moment. My question is, have you guys ever had to go a long stretch of time where you were out of the loop and found yourself coming back to everything you missed? And how did you feel about it? Were you, like me, excited to learn about everything you'd missed? Or did you feel left out and disappointed? Take care, boys. Chris. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you for your service as well.
Absolutely, yeah. I wonder whether he's going... Which army he's going with.
Well, it's just Chris, so...
It's just, yeah, it's just the Chris army.
Just the Chris army, yeah.
Just wonder whether he's, like, a non-Polish army being deployed to Poland for some reason, or if he's maybe originally a Polish national, and he's got to go back and do some... Maybe some service for a year in Poland. And then, I don't know. Anyway, just speculating there about the nature of Chris's service. But whatever it is.
I have no idea.
Whatever your service is, Chris, thank you very much for it.
Thank you.
It's very well known to those who listen to our content regularly that I did not have a PS3. It was my only step away from Sony in the past 4 or 5 generations of consoles. Started with a PS1, got PS2, jumped to 360 because I couldn't afford a PS3, and then back to PS4 eventually. But that was a couple of years after the PS4 had come out as well. So I missed out on the entire PS3 back catalogue, and I'd missed out on a year or two of PS4 as well when I finally got that PS4. And in some ways, I enjoyed it too, because it meant I had all these exciting games to play. I had The Last of Us, I had 4 Uncharted games. I'm trying to think what else was out at that point, but you know, those games alone are a lot to it's a nice prospect to sit down with your new console and think, look at all this stuff. It's like the best launch lineup ever for me.
Mm.
So in that respect, definitely a lot of fun. However, number one, to go back to question one, question two, we've got the problem of The Last of Us Part 1. I already knew what was going to happen in it because it had been several years since that had been out. So, you know, there was that spoiler. So when you're late to the party, you've got to worry about spoilers to an extent. But also, I kind of feel like I've constantly been playing catch-up. And I kind of, having that, with everyone else having that head start on me, or the console having the head start on me, there are some PS4 games that I've still not played and that I want to play. That's a question we've been asked more than once on the podcast. So I've talked about them before, The Witcher 3, God of War, want to move on to Horizon, which was I was about to do before the PS5 came out, and now it's had to sort of go onto the to-do list again. So games like that, It doesn't help that for me, gaming is not necessarily my number one pastime. I don't put as much time into gaming in my evenings and weekends as I do. I stream a lot of stuff, so I watch a lot of TV and films and stuff like that. And I suppose I hang out with my girlfriend a bit.
God, you're so pathetic.
Oh God, disgusting. The combination of falling behind on the PS4 back catalogue to start with, and then only having so many hours a week to put into games like that, and those are all big games as well. It does bother me a bit, especially being in this job, that I do have gaps in my knowledge in some of the biggest games of the PlayStation library of the past few years. I do think, like, man, there are people listening to this podcast right now who would love to be a presenter on a video games channel, and here I am, a presenter on a video games channel, having not played God of War. Who the hell am I here? But I know my reasons, and I stand by them, and I'm doing my best, and there's new games that have come out now that I've got to get through as well, and at least it means there's always something for me to move on to play that is
absolutely
a big, successful, high quality game. So, you know, after I've done the PS5 launch games, I'll be able to do Horizon and God of War, and maybe one day, maybe The Witcher 3.
Oh my God. Which one do you reckon you'll play first, The Witcher 3 or Cyberpunk?
I mean, the Cyberpunk, the other problem is now we're past launch. There's actual other games coming out that aren't launch games. There's Ratchet coming out soon, which I don't know if I'll might play that one, or there's Lego Star Wars in the new year. Oh, wow. I'll probably play Cyberpunk first, but before God of War, I mean. But I don't know. It's just, it's difficult. I guess that's the other problem being in this position is almost not knowing what to go on to next. But it's a nice problem to have, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you? Have you ever had any sort of gaps or missed out on certain things?
I mean,
ever stopped gaming for a while?
Not really. That's the thing. I've never really had an extended break. Certainly not in my adult life, my mature life, where I was able to actually afford to buy these things myself. You know, as a kid, I didn't play many games on PS1 or PS2, really, just because I didn't have the means to get them and I didn't really know what they were. It wasn't really until sort of 2004-ish that I really, really started getting plugged in to the games industry and watching it and paying close attention to it. But before that point, it was just I played what I played. But since then, I've never really taken an extended break at all from games. I haven't played everything because I'm not a robot, and I also have, you know, a personal taste, not taste in general. Like, oh, you don't have taste.
Yeah.
You know, I have game series that I don't like, and I have game series that I do like. So I haven't played everything, and I haven't owned every console, so I haven't been able to play all the exclusives. I've never really been a PC gamer. Certainly as far as PlayStation is concerned, I've been playing that consistently, covering most of the sort of big exclusive games for 15 or so years without a break. So there are, while there aren't, there hasn't really ever been a period where I've been like, ah, I've come back to games and now look, there's three or four games that I really want to play that I didn't get a chance to play, and now I can get them super cheap. Sometimes there are games that I've kind of slept on for a good while and then come back to later. So Days Gone was a recent one.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
And as Chris said, you know, they work out cheaper. They're usually patched. Most of the time they come with additional content in some kind of collection. So it really is, it's the best time to play those games. But as far as gaming is concerned, I've never really had that experience personally. But generic media-wise, I was going through a pretty rough spot last year, and I kind of just avoided Netflix for various reasons. Like, I just didn't go on Netflix at all. But when I did go on Netflix at the beginning of this year, I had like 6 TV shows that I loved to catch up on all the content, and it was all there and ready to go.
Yeah, that's great.
I totally get the notion, and I do think for people who, I don't want to say people who are able to use that form of consuming games, but people who perhaps have to consume games in that fashion, either for financial reasons or they don't have a console, or they're being deployed to Poland for a year with the armed forces, that there are, I suppose, silver linings when it comes to games when you return or are able to play these games, because they are cheaper and they are probably in the best form that they're going to take in terms of stability and glitches and bugs and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, and I guess depending on what the reason is for your hiatus, it doesn't work in every case. So, for example, getting sent off to Poland with the army means you're probably not going to be able to play anything. But depending on your reasons, you might, if you can't, for example, play your PS3, maybe you'll like switch over to PC for a bit or play some like sort of free to play games, or you know, do something like that on a different platform. And I guess it can open up some doors for you or make you try things out that you wouldn't necessarily have tried. Because for me, I think not only did I never get a PS3, but even though I had a 360, there was a period of several years, really. Well, between getting my 360 and playing it for 2 or 3 years, and then getting my PS4 years later, I hardly played any console stuff at all, because I went off to uni and I didn't take my Xbox with me because I knew I wouldn't have a TV there that was mine. I didn't want to leave an Xbox 360 in like a communal area. So I didn't have a console for all my years at uni. And then after that, it took me a little while before I bought a PS4. So in that time, I was playing stuff on PC, which I probably wouldn't have played otherwise. So I've talked before about how much I enjoyed Orcs Must Die, the third-person tower defense game. Really, really loved that game, and probably wouldn't have played that if I'd not been at uni just with a laptop. And it is probably one of my most played games of all time. I've put hours and hours into that back in the day. So there's a silver lining if you can't, you know, play a certain console or platform. Maybe you're still able to do something else and explore a different library for a time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Right.
But not just Chris. Not, in
not
this
just
case.
Chris.
No.
No. Let's move on to the discussion that comes at the end.
Yeah, let me just grab my discussion prop. Okay, I'm ready.
Already? Okay, it's time, everyone, for the big discussion.
The big discussion.
It's big discussion time. Welcome, everybody, to the big discussion. This big discussion comes to us courtesy of Henny Heron and John Bent, who asked a very similar question. Hey, my dudes. I hope you're doing well, and you're ready for all the merry Xmas coming our way. There are reports of a certain scene in Cyberpunk 2077 required to continue the story that causes seizures, and players without epilepsy are finding the scene a bit too intense on the senses. How on earth is this okay? When does pushing the boundaries and being creative become actively malicious?
Yeah, so this is interesting. We've got a write-up here from PC Gamer. I had not heard about this until the podcast question came up, and it's baffled me. Here we go, PC Gamer. Cyberpunk 2077 contains certain visuals and patterns that can cause problems for people with epilepsy. Game Informer's Liana Rupert, it's got two P's, so I don't know if it's Rupert with two P's or Rupert, has been playing and ended up writing a Cyberpunk 2077 epileptic PSA about why she suffered one major seizure and felt several moments where I was close to another one, is the quote, during the game. One aspect of the game that seems to be a particular problem is the brain dance sequences, which are similar to the IPS tests used to diagnose epilepsy. This is what triggered Rupert's seizure. The headset fits over both eyes and features a rapid onslaught of white and red blinking LEDs, much like the actual device neurologists use in real life to trigger a seizure when they need to trigger one for diagnosis purposes. If not modelled off the IRL design, it's a very spot-on coincidence. And because of that, this one aspect that I would personally advise you to avoid... this is one aspect I would personally advise you to avoid altogether. When you notice the headset come into play, look away completely or close your eyes. This is a pattern of lights designed to trigger an epileptic episode, and it very much did that on my own personal playthrough. Wow. So I think we should come in here and say, I'd like to think that although PC Gamer's article says, you know, this pattern of lights very much resembles that which neurologists use to trigger a seizure, I'm fairly sure that CD Projekt didn't include something with the intent to trigger seizures in players.
Yeah.
However, that is kind of much of a muchness when you think about, like, are there not checks for things like this? Like, obviously, there's censorship, but, you know, you have to run things through the give things age ratings for content. But I guess I never really thought about this before. Like, you know, games, all games and consoles come with a seizure warning, either when you launch a game or in the manual or on the box or whatever. And that makes sense, just to kind of cover all bases, because any kind of flashing or patterns of lights, I guess, you know, are worth just being cautious of if you suffer from epilepsy. But I just never thought about, like, do they check whether games and movies and things could theoretically trigger a seizure. Like, is there not a board that's in charge of that? I don't know. It's amazing that, like, something so similar to, like, the IPS tests used for epilepsy diagnosis has made it into a video game, you know, coincidentally or not. It's incredible, really.
Yeah, you usually get, especially on TV shows, you do usually get warnings beforehand if there's going to be scenes in there that could be problematic for people with epilepsy. I just, as you said, I just find it completely astonishing that this made it in.
Yeah.
You know, there's lots of games have flashing lights in them, but to resemble that test so closely is... It's just insane.
Mm.
Like, I don't know that there was, as you said, that there was any oversight here, or, you know, particularly with this mechanic being as central to the plot as brain dancing seems to be. I just don't understand how this kind of oversight could exist. You know, how this couldn't have been checked, how there was no one working on that who either had epilepsy or knew someone with epilepsy or was aware of the risks of having such an intense flashing light.
Mm.
So, you know, dominate the screen like that. I find it incredible. Obviously, I hope they fix this as soon as possible. It might even have been fixed by the time that this podcast goes out on Saturday. At the time of recording, it's Thursday, and I believe this news broke either a couple of days ago or yesterday, on Tuesday or Wednesday.
Because they have responded, haven't they, on Twitter? Don't know if you want to read that out.
I will, yeah. Cyberpunk Game has responded to the report from Liana from Game Informer. Thank you for bringing this up. We're working on adding a separate warning in the game, aside from the one that exists in the EULA, which is, you know, quite frankly, not good enough.
No.
Regarding a more permanent solution, dev team is currently exploring that and will be implementing it as soon as possible. So fingers crossed that gets sorted.
Mm.
Good on them for acknowledging it and just cracking on. Hopefully it's fixed. I don't know if you've seen what's happened to Liana Ruppert since she posted about this.
Oh, it's not... It's not bad, is it?
It's not. Oh, it's really, really bad. And in fact, I'm going to read her tweet from a few days later, actually, because I think we should honour what she's requested. Please stop sharing the part about people sending me videos. I imagine you can read between the lines there. That sucks. It's criminal. But now the entire conversation is about that and not on the whole reason I wrote the piece to help make the game safer. So we will, of course, attach the link to her post on Game Informer below, which is a huge, but rather than just sort of saying I had an epileptic fit, what the hell, it's a proper breakdown of Cyberpunk and how people can protect themselves while playing the game to be totally safe and to avoid inducing any kind of seizures or anything like that. So
well, it's admirable work to have done that, and
absolutely
a shame that it even sort of came to that, really.
Yeah, 100%. People started being total arsehats, which is just par for the course on the internet. And as we talked about last week, Cyberpunk has managed to amass a rather toxic following. And in response to this sort of quote tweet from Cyberpunk that I just read, people were saying the average gamer doesn't care about this. Why are you focusing on this? And stuff like that. It's just where? What? Who on earth raised you?
That's
what is wrong with you?
That's the, like, COVIDiot attitude as well, isn't it? It's like, well, most people will probably be fine. It's, quote, only old people or people with certain health conditions who, are going to suffer from it. Well, number one, that's not true because, you know, young people can get ill and die from it. But number two, what? So it doesn't matter, does it, that old people can get COVID? Or that some gamers, your non-average gamer, could suffer an actual epileptic seizure playing this game. It doesn't matter because statistically, it's not gonna affect most people, so it's fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, terrible. Obviously, what these people have done is absolutely terrible. And as Liana says, it actually criminal. There's a precedent for prosecution and tracking these people down.
Good,
because this has happened previously to other people, which is objectively horrifying, obviously.
Yeah.
So please do heed her request there and do go and check out the actual article, which was the whole point of this in the first place. The conversation has become dominated about you know, by the backlash for some reason against her for not even calling out Cyberpunk, just reporting on it and advising people on how to avoid the same thing happening to them. So if you do suffer from epilepsy or know someone who does, maybe point them in the direction of the Game Informer post. As I said, it will be linked in the link down below. So do go and give that a read and share it about if you think it would help people.
Wow, that's madness. I mean, it's an even worse response than I thought you were going to say. I thought you were just going to say people were sending her abuse, like saying, hey, stop calling out this game, no one cares. But okay, wow.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
The internet continues to be absolutely fantastic. That being said, Cyberpunk, despite being fantastically glitchy, sounds like it's a brilliant game, and I hope everyone who is hopping into it this weekend is really enjoying themselves. Just be safe in it.
Yep.
If you think that this is going to affect you, then please just be safe. And I just strongly believe, in the strongest possible sense, that that is exactly what Liana was trying to do by posting that story, is trying to protect other people. But there we go. Some people don't want that, apparently. No. Just be safe and enjoy your video game. It sounds like a really good one.
Yeah.
Are you going to be getting it straight away? I know we had a chat off air, but we might as well address it now because I'm sure people will be asking, what are your Cyberpunk plans?
Yeah, we've sort of touched on it in the podcast, I think, but originally I was going to get it straight away because I do wonder whether it's a contender for Game of the Year for me. Certainly it's highly anticipated. I think based off the current reports of some glitches, part of me just wants to wait, and especially because I've just started Valhalla as well, which by all accounts is a huge game and just goes on and on and on, in hopefully in a good way. So I kind of think, am I even going to have time to play Cyberpunk before the end of the year? Part of me does just want to at least give it a few hours. I might at least before our January podcast, where we're going to talk about our games of the year, try and put enough hours into it that I can judge whether or not I consider it to be one of the best games I've played in 2020. Even if I then have to put it aside, carry on with Assassin's Creed and other stuff, and then restart it later on in 2021. So right. That might be what I do, but I feel the need to play it before our January podcast where we do Games of the Year, because it could be up there, and it would be a shame not to not to give it a name drop if it is that good. So I want to get it played, but just so little time.
No, absolutely. Those are my thoughts as well. I've got a bit of a backlog currently with all the launch games and stuff like that I'm working through. As I said to you earlier, if Cyberpunk had released in its original slot at the beginning of the year, I definitely would have gotten it then. You know, a month removed from the next gen console launches, I'm holding strong at the moment. I'm staying strong, and I'm hoping that I can make it until they just release the native next-gen version rather than playing the upscaled version, because I really don't think it's going to be that far away at this point. I know you get a free upgrade, but I would rather just wait. I can't justify buying it right now if I'm not going to play it. If I see something, you know, that makes me think, oh, actually, this looks really, really good, then maybe I'll crumble and I'll get it. But my current plans are I am going to wait, because I've waited this long. And the constant delays have sort of ruined the mystique of this game, beyond the fact that obviously a lot of people were treating it like the second coming, which no game is going to live up to that kind of hype.
No. Yeah.
So eventually. But anyway, that was the big discussion. Don't be an arse, and protect yourself and others if you think that this is relevant to you. And hopefully that it's just fixed properly in game soon, so it won't be an issue anymore. It might be fixed now. Who knows?
Right. Yeah, maybe.
Who knows? Maybe. Peter, where can people find us?
We are Team Triple Jump everywhere that you're looking. YouTube.com and twitch.tv/TeamTripleJump is where we put our videos and live streams out. When we're streaming on both of those platforms, we are modded by Lord Rotovich, Mads Didactyl, and Trowling Badger. We've got social media, twitter.com and facebook.com, both/TeamTripleJump. Luke Eldon continues to look after Facebook. Thank you, Luke. You've been doing that a long time now. Patreon.com/TeamTripleJump is the place to go for all sorts of rewards. There's exclusive merch there. There's the opportunity to ask questions on the podcast, early worst games ever, and other things too. We've got a Discord, which you can get to by going to bit.ly/TeamTripleJump. That's modded by Jack and Joe, who've also been doing that for a very long time. Thank you, mods. The podcast is available in audio form, if you're watching on YouTube right now, at play.acast.com/s/triplejump. There's no team in triple jump. The website is triplej.mup. That's triplej.mp. And if you go to triplej.mup/shop, that's where you can have a look at all our merch. And you can go to triplej.mup/VODs to look at all of our live stream VODs that are uploaded to our live stream VODs YouTube channel. And also on that channel, Pat Fenn is editing together some weekly highlights as well. So thank you, Pat. They're very good.
Absolutely. You can follow Peter on Instagram at ThatPeterAustin and on Twitter at ThatPeterAustin and myself just on Twitter at Confused_Dude. Lists are going out every Tuesday and Thursday. Streams every Monday, Thursday, Friday and Sunday. Monday, Friday, Sunday being the solo streams on Twitch. Thursday being the joint stream, Blaze It on YouTube. Worst Games Ever is fortnightly, Friday for patrons, Sunday for everyone else. This is a Worst Games Ever week, so look out for that. Yeah. The podcast is every Saturday, and we do shows every other week, and so on and so forth, little bits and pieces here and there. Leave a review on iTunes or your platform of choice. It helps something to do with Al Gore's rhythms. This week, Peter, is Worst Games Ever.
Yes, it is.
Went out on Friday for patrons, goes out on Sunday for everyone else.
It's Hope the you Christmas enjoyed it. Episode.
It is the Christmas episode, yeah.
Because the way it falls, the next episode would go out on Christmas Day, but only for patrons. And then for everyone else, it would go out on the 27th. So we thought, we'll do Christmas now. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, people can watch it in the run-up to Christmas or save it for Christmas Day if they want to or whatever.
Yeah.
And then the one after that will still happen, even though we'll be off for Christmas. We'll still be scheduling that for the 25th for patrons and 27th for everyone else. But that won't be Christmas-themed.
Look forward to that. We've just recorded that one too, so there's a couple on the way.
Yeah.
It's a sleepover stream next week. Again, obviously, we're pulling that forward slightly because we're going to be away over Christmas and New Year.
Yeah.
So make sure you come along to that. It will be... Will it be the final joint stream of the year? Let's look at the calendar.
Blaze it.
Looking at it. Yes, it will. So next Thursday will be the final joint stream of 2020. And it will also be a sleepover stream from 6 until 8. We'll be playing Little Hope, I assume, if there's any Little Hope left to play.
What a way to go out.
Oh, I know. What a way to go, bro.
Yeah.
So make sure you come along and say hello and revel in the Christmas cheer of Halloween games.
We can have Christmas bedtime stories, can't we?
Oh, yeah, we can,
Christmas
actually.
Swear words.
Oh, my goodness. So, yes, do come along. The Christmas podcast is next week, so patrons... Get your questions in when the post goes live on Tuesday, and you can ask Christmas-related questions. You can go for it. Do it. Mm. We'll talk about Christmassy things, hopefully.
Yeah.
The following week, we will actually be doing another podcast, but due to the nature of annual leave and people being away and so on, it will be a guest podcast. Mm. So I'll have various people on the podcast and doing the different sections and stuff, so there will be an additional podcast post going out in the next couple of weeks, so keep an eye out for that. We'll need some extra questions from you for that.
I'm and buggering finally, off early. I'm heading off.
Well, you've got to driving home for Christmas, haven't you?
I have, yeah. In a safe and distant way. We are bubbling legally and appropriately. And
good.
Going to have a nice, cozy two households within one house Christmas.
Yes.
Yeah.
As the law allows.
Hmm.
And that's great. Finally, we'd like to thank a longtime supporter of ours, Tori, who very kindly sent us some delightful Christmas gifts.
Yes, of course. Yeah, thank you very much, Tori. They were very nice. Mm. Well, they are. We've not eaten them all yet. But
not all of them. Some of them, though.
Some of them, though.
Yes. Thank you so much, Tori. And to everyone who listened today, thank you for coming along and listening. Really appreciate all of you.
Yeah.
Just enough time for the sponsor once again before we go. Yep. If anyone knows what this means, then hopefully you can you know, help us out. It is Bug Waps.
Yeah.
Sexy Bugs. Just... That's it. That's all that's it. Bug you gonna look now?
Waps. Oh! Oh, God, no! Oh,
what is it?
Jesus!
Is it bad?
Oh, no, let's just... Oh, cut there. Okay. Oh, God.
Bye, everyone.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.